This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. The islands of the Mississippi River have been disappearing for decades. Although nature plays a bit of a role in the erosion, it's mostly caused by the lock and dam system's river engineering. Recognizing the loss of habitat, state and federal agencies have been working together to build new islands, an effort that has been underway since the 90s. The Kapolei Slough Habitat Rehabilitation Project, midway between La Crosse and Prairie du Chien, is just one example. Its goal is to enhance the river's ecosystem for fish, birds, turtles, and even people. I toured the Kapolei Slough Islands near Ferryville, Wisconsin this past week with Jeff Janvrin. He's a Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Mississippi River Habitat Specialist. Also, Wendy Wycheck, a wildlife biologist with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's Upper Mississippi River National Wildlife and Fish Refuge in La Crosse. While Janvrin drives the boat, he talks about the history of the project.
The Kapolei Slough Project is located on the Upper Mississippi River Wildlife and Fish Refuge on the Mississippi River. And it's designed by a team of biologists and engineers from the Corps of Engineers, Iowa, Wisconsin DNR, and the Fish and Wildlife Service. We've been working on this project about since 1999. Due to funding, we kind of took a break from the planning and then started up in earnest again in the late 2009 period or so. And just kind of went forward and got to construction. So this is actually the third year of construction on this project.
And can you talk about Fish and Wildlife Service's participation in the project, Wendy?
It's a partnership, just like Jeff said, with all the agencies. We all have biologists and managers that work on the projects and engineering people that help out with the design and everything. So it's a great partnership that we have with everybody.
If I'm understanding it correctly, one of the reasons that projects like this have to take place is because the way that the river has been engineered over time, some of the original islands, or islands that were there 100 years ago, have eroded away.
In the 1930, Congress authorized the Corps of Engineers to put in locks and dams on the Mississippi River. And actually, the refuge was here already. They started in 1924 on the river. When the locks and dams went in, it permanently raised the water elevation to create a stair step of water from Minneapolis-St. Paul to St. Louis, Missouri. And when that stair step went in, we flooded out roughly a third of the floodplain of the Mississippi River. And that covered up the islands, or what islands that didn't totally submerge, wind action, waves, ice started eroding them away. And those islands that were there after the locks and dams were still holding on some of the habitat that was out there for fish and wildlife. We've lost in Pool 9, for example, almost 60% of our floodplain forest that was here before the locks and dams were built. Most of that is now water, and so these islands also help restore a little bit of that forestry out there.
Can you talk about the makeup of the islands that work is underway on? What do they look like? What is the size?
I think we got 22 acres of islands that we reconstructed down here in the Kapolei Slough Project. All of the islands start out with a sand base, and then we put topsoil that's dredged then from the backwaters, and that dredging from the backwaters creates deep water habitat then for fisheries, in particular for overwintering fish like bluegill and largemouth bass that need these quiet areas free from current to spend the winter. And it's a natural thing. Most folks don't think about bluegills and largemouth bass as a fish of a river, but for the Mississippi River floodplain, they were pre-lock and dam a major part of it, and even today they're still a very major component of the fishery for this river system.
And one of the thought processes behind this is it helps create winter habitat for the fish. Can you talk about that?
A lot of the fish on the Mississippi River are migratory. Some will migrate literally hundreds of miles, like the paddlefish, the sturgeon, even some of the catfish. But the bluegills, largemouth bass, they'll migrate from where they spend the summer to where they spend the winter. And that's what we call overwintering habitat when we're reconstructing these islands. Up in this portion of the Mississippi River, summer habitat really isn't limiting. It's that overwintering habitat that's free from current, a little bit warmer than the main channel, because the main channel runs at 0 degrees centigrade or 32 degrees Fahrenheit during the winter under the ice. And the fish will avoid that. Matter of fact, there's some studies that show that if they spend too much time in that kind of water, they die. So we have to create these overwintering sites then that have good oxygen, a little bit warmer temperatures, even 1 degree C, that they want to then spend the winter in. And we also have done telemetry studies, the Iowa DNR has, that shows these fish will home back to wintering sites. That's how important they are, is that they've evolved to home back to probably what is the most critical habitat for their survival.
Wendy, can you talk about some of the benefits to migratory birds?
Sure. The design of the islands helps decrease wind and wave action that occurs, and so that has a couple benefits for waterfowl. It helps reduce the suspended sediments that are in the water, which then helps the vegetation grow, and then which provides food for the waterfowl. Another, it provides protection for them so that they can get out of the wind and the waves, and so a place for food and a place for protection.
What sort of birds do you generally see out on these islands?
We get a mix of waterfowl that's out there. One of the biggest ones that we have in these lower pools where you have a lot of the open water is the canvasback. But we do have, where the vegetation comes in, mallards and wood ducks will feed in there, and just a good mix of waterfowl that use the area.
This is Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. We're visiting the Capelize Slough Habitat Restoration Project, a state and federal effort to restore islands of the Mississippi River south of La Crosse. My guests are Jeff Janvrin, he's a Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Mississippi River Habitat Specialist, and Wendy Wycheck, a wildlife biologist with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's Upper Mississippi River National Wildlife and Fish Refuge in La Crosse.
The Capelize Slough Islands are in an area that's open to hunting and fishing year-round. Further south is a project that's going to start next summer of 2015.
And what's the name of that project?
That one's called Harper Slough, Pool 9. And that area is pretty much all in a closed area. So it's a waterfowl closed area, and that is someplace that it's closed to hunting. So that's an area for the waterfowl then to rest. By putting in the islands that we're putting in, not only at Capelize but also down at Harper's, that's actually going to increase diversity of habitats. So the divers will still be in the area, but you'll see an increase likely in swans and puddle ducks like mallards and teal, because now they're going to utilize that quiet water area. Because by slowing down the current, breaking up the wind fetch, we change the vegetation community as well back there for the food resources. So that the food isn't all just wild celery, but rather it could be, you know, the arrowheads out there and a whole variety of other aquatic vegetation and invertebrates that the waterfowl feed on.
Does it help with erosion too?
Well, the plants that we put out for erosion, we use a lot of bioengineering on the islands. If it's a shoreline, that'll allow it. And so we'll plant willows along the shoreline. And we actually went out, surveyed, looked where willows were growing naturally on islands. And that's where we plant them along the islands to give the island a head start to be stable. Our primary goal is to use no rock if we can, but we designed these islands to last for 50 years, and so we do have to use riprap and rock on these islands. We plant the top of the islands with a mixture of prairie grasses also, so that it helps lock up the soil, helps reduce erosion as it's overtopped. As far as during the summer, if you get the vegetation beds established behind the islands, they will break up that wind as it's coming in. It's a lot calmer, it helps reduce the resuspension of the sediment in the water column. The catch-22 on that, though, is the vegetation really is only doing that in late June through mid to late September. So you still have another 8-9 months out of the year where the aquatic vegetation really doesn't offer a lot of protection to the islands. And that's then where our design of the island itself is what's helping keep it stable.
But at this point, I know you're putting the final touches on the islands, but, you know, 10 years down the line, would you go out there and plant new vegetation, or once it's finished, do you just sort of let nature take its course?
I think, at least from our standpoint, we like to just see natural succession occur. But if there are areas where we could see some significant improvement, say putting in wild rice, you know, we wouldn't be opposed to going in and looking at that and evaluating that and actually seeding some wild rice in an area. So there's always that possibility, but nature does really well when we let it go that direction. So
you mentioned that you try not to use rocks in these projects. Why is that?
Well, one, we don't like using rock unless absolutely necessary on the islands, because there is a point where it increases the cost of the island, And everything that we need to build these islands has to be brought out here on a boat. If you need a roll of toilet paper, it comes out on a boat. The outhouses come out on a boat. So it gets expensive. And the sand and the mud, that's all right around here. And if we can use it, that's the cheap way to go. But you're making an investment, in this case, of over $4 million. I think it's almost $6 million for this overall project. You want to make sure that it's going to stay here. The refuge, they have to maintain this. They have to sign a cooperator's agreement that they will maintain these islands for 50 years. And one of the things that we as a partnership really try to do is design these islands so that there is no maintenance, so that they literally are maintenance-free. Matter of fact, most of the maintenance we've had to do on these is folks coming out to inspect it to say, yep, everything's doing fine. And that's all. That's the kind of maintenance you want to do on something that you build. So there is a lot of advantage. Folks may say some of this is over-designed, but at the same time, the money spent, it's here, it's causing the benefits to the public from bird watching, from hunting, from fishing, and just the general ecosystem of the Mississippi River.
What difference does it make for fishers who, there's a fisherman right behind us.
Well, for the angling population, these overwintering sites, all the monitoring we've done to date shows that they are brand new populations. Particularly in an area like Capilite, where we're going and doing something in an area where there wasn't an overwintering site before. So these actually are a brand new population of fish. We are actually increasing the overall population within a pool. Cumulatively over time, with a lot of these projects, we will definitely restore a much healthier, much more diverse fisheries within the pools. And one thing that kind of is a theory is that a more diverse system is more resilient to stressors, whether that be invasion of exotic species, climate change, etc. If you have a very simple system, very monotypic system, it's more susceptible to any type of a change that then sets back or could destroy the ecosystem that's there. I'm going to pop up on plane here because we still got like 2 miles to go.
This is Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. We're visiting the Capilite Slough Habitat Restoration Project, a state and federal effort to restore islands of the Mississippi River south of La Crosse. My guests are Jeff Janvrin. He's a Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Mississippi River Habitat Specialist, and Wendy Wycheck, a wildlife biologist with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's Upper Mississippi River National Wildlife and Fish Refuge in La Crosse.
So today, as we're out here, the water's still high. I mean, we're still in flood on the river here. So a lot of our islands are actually, or portions of the lower sections of the islands are actually underwater. And they're designed to do that. We design these islands to be flooded. We have, if you want to think about it, pressure relief areas where we want the water to get into the backwater to equalize the pressure or the water surface elevation. When we get a flood, if we don't allow water to come in and kind of fill up the cup, we basically can get erosion of the constructed islands because of what we call hydraulic jump. It's lower in the backwater, it's higher in the main channel, and we want to equalize that water level. And one way to think about it is if you take a garden hose, you lay it out on the ground, that water will just spread out. But if you take that same garden hose and with the trickle of water going on and hold it above your head, it's going to eat a hole in the ground. That's the energy water's getting from gravity, and we try to take that away from the river as it's going in these backwaters so we don't erode the islands that we built.
The project's been underway for a handful of years now. What's some of the work that needs to be completed this year?
Over the last 2 years, two different contractors have been working on this project, so everything's put out for competitive bid. And in the case of Capilite, each one was awarded to a different contractor. McHugh Excavation, last fall, late September, early or mid-October, finished putting in the last of the islands. So for all practical purposes to the aquatic creatures, this project's been functioning since, let's say, late October of last year. The erosion control for all the islands is in already. They've got the rock work in. Some of it right now actually is underwater, and that's by design as far as that you can't see it. But what they're going to do is they're going to shape it now. They're going to take the roughness out of it, get the elevations a little bit more smooth, because wherever you have a little depression, that's where you can get some erosion on the islands. Then they'll come back and they'll plant it to kind of a prairie mix, and they also plant the willows along the toe of the island. And then depending on what is agreed to, actually what it usually comes down to is what the Fish and Wildlife Service and the REF and the Corps decide they'd like to do, along with input from the partners, is which islands then are we going to plant trees on? Because we will plant trees to diversify the forest community that's coming up. So some of the higher portion of this islands, I'm confident we'll be getting things like, they'll be getting some oak trees will be planted onto that section of the island, as well as some other trees that are a little less tolerant of having their feet wet. Whereas then we'll get in some of these lower sections of the islands, and they might actually plant in some different kinds of maples or willows just to give them kind of a head start on the islands here.
So this looks like an island that's been established for quite a while, hence the trees.
Yep. So one big part of the Kapolei project was protecting the existing islands that were still here, and then kind of using them as a template to, basically, if you want to think about it, connect up the dots.
So is this part right in front of us, is this a new portion of the project, and then that's older
vegetation? Part of the older island that was there, where all the bigger trees had fallen down, so just the little willows were growing. And this island here was finished up by the fall of 2012. And what I can see just by looking at it is it's functioning the way it should. It's a channel, or it's an island right next to the main channel. And done right, what we should see every time it gets flooded is a fresh deposit of sand on top of the island. That's what makes up the natural river levees that you see on a lot of different rivers that you go on. But on the Mississippi River, that's kind of what over 10,000 plus years created the islands was. As it was leaving the main channel, it would pile up sand because it lost its energy as it went over the top of islands. And that's what's happening here. So this is actually what we're looking at is some fresh sand that's deposited on top of this island by the river, which means it's actually functioning as part of the river's landforms. So, and this one, we'll get out on this one because then you can see the difference between that rough area that we were versus one that's shaped.
If these weren't here, how different would the river system be, or at least the ecosystem?
These projects are really helping restore a bunch of habitat. We did some looking at historic data and looked at what the distribution of overwintering habitat was for bluegills and largemouth bass, or I should say the potential, back before locks and dams were built. And it came out that in this area, there was probably about 1.5 overwintering sites per river mile. Well, let's put that in context. Today, with the locks and dams, from Lansing, Iowa, down south of Linksville, Wisconsin, at Lock and Dam 9, we had one overwintering site, and that was at Cold Springs. And that's a stretch of about 12, 13 miles, and Cold Springs is one of our habitat projects. So before even EMP, we were down to the point where, for in an area that probably had at least 10, if not more, overwintering sites per in a 12, 13-mile stretch, we had zero before the environmental management program. This represents the second overwintering site now that we are creating as part of it to fill in this gap. And then there are features in the Harper's project that will also provide some overwintering habitat as well. So slowly but surely, putting the pieces back of this real, you know, national treasure puzzle that's out here on our river.
And like Jeff said, the erosion process is just continuing, and so if we don't do something now, we'll lose all these islands completely. And some people are like, well, what does that mean? Well, you're going to have a flat bottom, and you're going to have that monotypic vegetation type again, and the wave and wind action, when it gets into these big open waters, the wind creates large waves, which again just makes the sediment come up. It can even rip up the vegetation. So we're losing habitat. So by putting these islands back in place, we're really creating a diverse habitat that will help a lot of different species.
Wendy Wycheck is a wildlife biologist with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's Upper Mississippi River National Wildlife and Fish Refuge in La Crosse. Jeff Jandrin is a Wisconsin DNR Mississippi River Habitat Specialist. We were touring the Kapolei Slough Habitat Restoration Project, a state and federal effort to restore islands on the river near Ferryville, Wisconsin, between La Crosse and Prairie du Chien. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other recent editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make a suggestion for a future show, you'll find links to our producers and staff, that and more, at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, photos, and links to our archives, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.